Tonight for Wednesday, October 14th. This is George Sweat. I'll be with you tonight, and we'll be studying 1 John again. We're getting back into that study this evening. As you get home from work and you get a chance to relax and you get a chance to get something to eat and settle down to study God's Word, let's get ready to do that. We can look at the world today and know that the days are getting shorter and it's getting dark even sooner, and time change is not too far away. And so we know that winter is going to be upon us soon. In the same way, we know that Christ's return is coming soon. When you look at the world and you can see what is going on there. We have an important election coming up. We have a lot of different things going on in the Christian world. Christians are being persecuted around the world. And we need to stand firm in our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Let's open this evening with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into it, because we've got quite a bit to cover in chapter 4 tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for getting us through this day, for watching out for us and protecting us, and for giving us a new day and not calling us home yet. We have a purpose to be here on earth. You have a purpose for us to share and to love one another. Help us to learn how to be your disciples even more each and every day as we walk closer and closer to you. And we look forward to your coming return. And until then, may we do what you've asked us to do, and that is to share your love with those that are around us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It's good to see some of you with us tonight, and I'm glad that we can be together. I just love being together with everybody and being able to get into the Word of God. There's nothing better than the Word of God to change your attitude, to get you refocused on where you should be in your walk with the Lord and in your relationship with those that are around you. There's nothing better to ground you. It sure isn't just coming home after a long day of work and when you're tired and frustrated, just starting to snap at everybody. It's much easier when you share the love God has put in upon your heart, and once again, putting things in the proper perspective. And that is what we want to do by studying the Word of God, is to grow in our relationship with Him so that we have more to live and more to share and be able to walk closer with Jesus in every way and in every day. We pray that the Lord be with each of you and strengthen you. And get ready to jump in the Word of God tonight. So if you've turned to 1 John, today is our fifth study, and we're studying the chapter 4 this evening. So if you've got chapter 4 ready to go, we will be getting into that this evening. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that the Spirit of God, that is, every spirit that confesses Jesus has come in the flesh, is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard it is coming, and it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He knows. We are from God, and he who knows God listens to us, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son, I know we've heard that before, into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love God, If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because he is, and so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Chapter 4 of 1 John. 1 John is one of my favorite books to read. In 1 John 4, there's just so much about God's love for us. But there's more than just that. It's so full. I could probably do a whole six weeks on just chapter 4. But we're doing it, not quite as an in-depth study, but more of as an overview of what is going on, giving us a basis of something to go forward in. And I challenge you just to have your own quiet time in your own studies after we're done with our study this evening. Study that, for your quiet time tomorrow, that you may put it inside your heart, that it can be a way of life and not just something that you heard and it went one ear and out the other, that we can start putting those things into practice. We start in chapter 4, it says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And we know this because as it goes on, it says that not every spirit will confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if they don't confess those things, then they are not from God. God wants us to test the spirits to see what they are of. Every preacher you hear on the radio, every preacher you see on Facebook, every preacher you hear on the radio will not be telling you that Jesus is the Son of God and the only way to heaven, and that there is no other way. Test the spirits. And that doesn't mean test God. It means just to test these other spirits to see where they are coming from. And that's, John is telling the church to be wise in what they're listening to and wise to what they're hearing. There are many different voices we hear in this world. You can hear from people. There are many ways to get to God. You can see God in many ways. You can see God all around us. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ because of our sin. And it's going to talk about that a little further in this passage, but you want to test the spirits to see where they are from. And if they are from God, then listen further. If they're not, just turn them off and get away from them. Run from them. As Joseph ran away from Potiphar's wife, do not entertain sin. Do not entertain false prophets. Show them for what they are and turn from them. Don't let them be a part of your life. Well, part of what they're saying is true, so I'm going to listen to what they have to say. No, you don't listen to people who are perverting the word of God. That is what Satan did. Satan twisted the word of God when he was talking to Eve in the garden. Has God really forbade you to eat from this tree? See, the fruit is good. Listen to what God says and stand firm to what it is. Don't listen to the false teachers who want to sway you from believing what the Word of God says, that you may be on the path to salvation. So test the spirits, as it shows in verse 3 and 4. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming and is already in the world. It's not saying that the Antichrist in the book of Revelation has arrived, but the spirit of the Antichrist is here, and false teachers are here in the spirit of the Antichrist because they are against God. That's Antichrist. And the things that are Antichrist we should take out of our lives and not even spend time on them. So test the spirits. And if they confess Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and the only way for salvation is from God. If they say Jesus is just a good man in one of many ways, you know that is false teaching. You know that is not true. There is only one true God and only one way to salvation. And it's not through works, lest anyone should boast. It is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice alone. You are from God, little children, because you have overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I love this passage. I love this passage. It shows we are different from the world. And it shows that God loves us and is watching out for us. You are from God, little children, because you've overcome them. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God, our Savior, is living in us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. We have a blessing that many of the fellow believers that we know of in the Old Testament did not have. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. God himself living in us. The one that would convict us of our sin. The one that would lead us into truth and to righteousness. The one that would show us, so we can test the spirits to see if they are from God or not. And see if they are from an Antichrist. So those are the things that we want to look at. And the things that we have to test our lives with. Is someone at work trying to test you by asking you to do something that's immoral or wrong? You have to take a stand for Jesus. No, I can't backstab another person. No, I am not going to cheat. No, I am not going to fudge these numbers for you. I am not going to fake these things. We need to do what is right and to do what is true. Stand for those at work. Stand for those in your own home. Don't let others, tempt you to go a different route. And you can test those spirits, and that you might know that the ones that are tempting you to do things that are contrary to his spirit, contrary to his word, you can know that those things are wrong. And you know what things are right, and it's going to be talking about those a little bit in just a little bit. It's going to be talking about how we love our brothers and sisters and how Christ has loved us. The ones who don't love God, they are from the world, and therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. I can see that, in our whole cycle of voting right now. That those who stand for the word of God, and who stand for life, and who stand for God, and then there's those, who do not stand for life. And who do not stand for the world and seek it in a different way, seek the world in a different way, one that would be away from God and away from his word and away from his truth. We have to stand for what is true. There is not one spiritual, party. The only true party that is spiritual is Jesus Christ himself. But we need to vote along the lines that would uplift the Lord and what he has asked us to do. We need to stand up for liberty. We need to stand up for the freedom to exercise our Christian faith and to be able to love one another as it's telling us to. By this we can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we need to be careful, we need to test the spirits, and we need to speak truth. And we don't need to be speaking lies. We don't need to be speaking what is not true and leading others astray. And then some of my favorite verses here are, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You know, on the first Praise album, I had that out the other day and I was listening to it, the song, "Let us love one another," is on there. And that's all about 1 John 4:7-8. And I just love it because it's a song that has scripture in it to help us memorize scripture, to help us know what the scripture says, and to help that be a part of what is inside of us. And that's what I love about songs that are scripturally based, and to be able to put them inside our hearts, because that's putting the Word of God inside of our hearts. And it's just so powerful, you know, because you know that it's God's grace that saved us, and it's our job to share that with others as we walk along as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Then there's another one that goes along with that, and that would be the little children's song that goes 1 John 4:7-8, and you clap and you sing along. I love it when the kids are in their classrooms and they're singing the spiritual songs. They're putting the Word of God in their hearts and they're memorizing it. I'll be so thankful when our church gets to be able to have the children's ministry up and running again. I'm looking forward to that time. And it's so hard, you know, when our nation says we can't get together, we can't do these things. But we also know that we want to be loving to our brothers and sisters and not putting them in harm's way and not leading them into danger, as we know that the number of COVID cases are going up. I don't see the death rate going up at the same rate as we see the infection rate going up, but you know, right now it's just be careful with what we're doing, and let's show the love. Let's abide by what our leaders are saying, and let's be good Christians in doing what we do. Let us stand for what we believe in. Let us stand for what is true, and let us gather one to another, as we should. Let's be the Christian brothers and sisters to one another that we need to be. And scripture memorization is very key and helpful in our walk with the Lord, because it lets us know who God is each day. And it's something that we can be reminded of. And that's why I like those songs that are scripturally based, because it's easier to remember a song for me than it is a Bible verse, because, you know, it's melodic and it just draws memories, and it's all kinds of wonderful things that come along with music and with song. So I love these verses. "By this, the love of God was manifest in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so we might live through him." And that just reminds me of 1 John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This verse, you know, is written by John, and that I'm sure was on his mind as he was writing this, to encourage the young believers in Christ in the first church to stay firm and to understand where their faith was coming from, and understand that it was God who sent his Son, you know, to live and to die for us. "In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." Just because we love God didn't bring us salvation. He loved us first, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's using that big word again, which means Christ became our sacrificial lamb. He covered the sins. He took the price upon himself for my sin, my ugly, rotten sin. And no matter if you're a murderer or an adulterer, no matter if you're a liar or a cheat, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God says one sin is all it takes to have us separated. And it just takes one act of asking God to forgive us for our sin and have Jesus enter into our lives to forgive us of all our sins, regardless of how serious or how little we think they are. But even the little ones can separate us from Christ and God himself forever. So we need to come before Christ, and it's not because we love him, it's because he loved us first. that we respond in love back to Him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. That's exactly what 1 John says next, that we step out and love one another because He has first loved us. He has shown us what it means to love one another. And just as He's shown in the book of John, once again, in chapter 15, greater has no love than has no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no man than this. And that's what Christ did for us. And that's what we need to be willing to do for one another. When is the last time we sacrificed because of our love for another person? When's the last time you shoveled the snow for a neighbor without asking? When was the last time you took an extra batch of cookies to your neighbor next door? Do you even know your next door neighbor's name? There's so many different things. Do you go to work and work with somebody all day and know nothing about them? Is it time just to share and to love with them and to make them, let them know about what is inside of your heart and the love that Christ has for us, that we can share that with others? Don't let us not hold it inside, like the little kid's song again. Don't let us hide our light under a bushel. Let us hold it on a lampstand. Let it be there for all to see, especially as the nighttime gets dark now. It's easier to see that we need to be a light to this world. We need to be a light that shines and gives life and light and chases away the darkness. There are so many dark things in this world with child trafficking and the evil that is going on. Let us stand for love. Let us shine light in the dark corners that they may be seen. And let us be Christ's light to the world. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Holy Spirit. And what a great gift that is. God is with us at all times. There's so many different people who try to say, I'm just doing religion in my own way. We don't have to do it our own way. Christ is living within us. That's the only way. We have the life. The God that created this universe, the God that made us, is living inside us. The God of all power, the God who raised Himself from the dead and who lives now, is living inside of us. There's no greater thing on earth. There's no money or no house or no car that can give us that satisfaction. He lives inside of us. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Not just our Savior, but the Savior for the world. He has called us to do one thing, go to the world and make disciples. He didn't say go to the world and be the greatest politician you can be. He didn't say go into the world and be the greatest preacher in the world. He said to make disciples. It's not just to do your job. And even as Christians, we can get lost with doing our job and forget we are there to bring people into relationship with Him and to draw people alongside of us and to help them grow and learn as a disciple would. Who's the last person you took under your wing to say, hey, how was your Bible study today? How are you doing? Let's study something together. Let's see what God is doing in our lives, that we can share that with those around us. That's what God is calling us to be, those who make disciples. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And these next passages here, are so true. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. Sometimes you might want to feel like you're far away from God. Just pray, repent from your sin, and confess that Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your Savior. And then God abides in you, and you abide in Him. And nobody can take you out of His hand, as it says in Romans 8, 38, and 39. If you haven't looked those up, write that down, look it up, write it down, post it on a wall. I had it posted on my wall when I was in college to remind me every day that there wasn't anything that could take me out of the hand of Christ. Going into different religious classes I had at school that taught me that Jesus could be whatever he wants to be in your life. He could be a magic mushroom. He could be this or he could be that. You know, but I stood firm in my faith, knowing that Jesus is the Christ and the only way to salvation. And it's not whoever you want him to be. He is who he says he is, the Son of God. And he did die and raise again. And it was his blood that was shed upon the cross that it forgave us for our sins. And that's why I had that verse posted up on my wall to remind me every day of Jesus' sacrifice and that I was his and that no one could take me out of that. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know and have believed that the love of God, which he has, and believe love, which God, the love which God has for us, because God is love, is the one who abides in God, and God abides in him. And that's how we love one another. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that in God, then you will be saved. That's a great, great, great passage. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, and believe that in your heart, God, you're going to be saved. And a similar verse in Matthew 10:32, therefore everyone who confesses me, this is Jesus talking, therefore, everyone who confesses me, Jesus, before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. What will he confess? That his blood is covering our sin and that we are made back into a right relationship with God. And that's how our Heavenly Father will see us. Not as one to be judged, for our judgment has already been taken care of by Christ upon the cross. And I'm just so thankful for those. And those passages just give me hope to know what God has done in us. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know that we have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. God is never going to say, you loved too much. You showed someone too much love. That is impossible. The more love you share, the more love God fills us up with to give out. You can never give out all the love that God has for us. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because he is, and so also are we in this world, just as he was. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. This is the third time he has said that in the last two chapters. That we can have confidence in the day of judgment. That we aren't going to fall short because of our sins. Because our sins are forgiven because of what Christ did upon the cross. We need to be thankful as we pray every morning and every night. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. Lord, we thank you for the blood you shed. We need to be reminded of those things daily. Because he is in us, and so we are also in the world. We need to share with the world that we are forgiven and that they can be forgiven. For there is no fear in love. There is no fear of judgment in love, for love has conquered fear. We no longer have to fear being judged because of our sin, because our sin was paid for with an awful price that we didn't have to bear. But it's oftentimes very good for us to remember the sacrifice that Christ did have. And what do we sacrifice? Do we even sacrifice an hour on Sunday morning? Do we sacrifice, you know, a little time on a Wednesday evening? Do you sacrifice time to have a quiet time and a study with the Lord every day? Do you? Do I? We need to. We need to set that time aside and do that in reverence for all He has done for us. Not as an act that will get us to heaven, but an act that will help us draw closer to the God we love and the God we serve. Love casts out all fear because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. If we're living in fear, we aren't living in love. We're afraid of judgment. We're afraid, of a coming judgment. We're afraid of a God who's going to come back and get us, instead of understanding that there's a love of God, and He is coming back to bring us home to Himself, that He wants to hold us and give us the love as a bridegroom holds his bride, with that love and with that care. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. John doesn't mince terms here. That's pretty strong, If you hate your brother, you're a liar if you say you love God. And hate is a strong word, but many Christians show a lot of hate. There are those who claim to be Christians and hold signs, about hate. That is wrong. God loves. And God forgives. But there is a judgment for sin, and we don't need to candy coat that. But as believers, we don't have to live in the fear of judgment and sin as the world does. But we do need to preach that. We do need to let the world know that there is a judgment to come, and that there's no one who is going to escape judgment. But the way to be covered by the blood of Christ is the way to be forgiven. And then when it comes to judgment, that price is taken because of Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross. That's that big word, propitiation. He took our judgment, past, present, and future. And we are going to be made right in the time to come. And we have that to look forward to. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love the God whom he hasn't seen. This again calls us to action. And last week I was encouraging people to share love with your brothers and sisters inside of the church, for we don't minister to one another. We tend to tear down one another in church. We tend to leave one another alone and tend to pray for the missionaries that are out. We tend to pray for Mike Parks as he's in Iraq, when he's in Lebanon. And yes, he needs our prayers. And I covet you to pray for them as well. For we want to see the salvation there. But when we have a brother or sister of Christ in church who needs our love, and we leave them alone, we are the most to be pitied. For we aren't even sharing the love of Christ which is inside of us. It's not about writing a check. It's about sacrificing your time and giving of yourself. That is what we need to do for one another. And once again, I'm going to encourage you to grab a phone number of someone in church that you haven't talked to for a while. Encourage them. Share a verse of what you've read today. Ask them what they have read today. Encourage people to keep walking strong with the Lord. Do you have a prayer request? If you have a prayer request, call someone. Call myself. Call another believer. Call one of the ladies in the ladies' ministry. Will you pray? I've got this problem. I need some help. We need to stand alongside each other in prayer. We need to be with one another. And as one suffers, we should all suffer. And as one rejoices, we should all rejoice. And that's what I think we need to do more as the body of Christ today. Instead of yelling about we can't get together as believers because, the government is saying so. Well, why can't we start living as the body of Christ? We don't have to have the government say we need to love one another as the body of Christ. Christ has told us to do that no matter what. No matter if we're persecuted, no matter if we're not persecuted, we need to love one another. And then that love goes out and spreads to a dying world, and that we go and make disciples. And this is the commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. That's the end of chapter 4. I know it's a little bit long, and I know we went through a lot, and I know we could have delved a lot deeper into a few of those passages, and I hope that you do this week, because there's just so many of them that are strong. It starts off by saying, test the spirits, and it goes on to, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You know, and it goes on, you know, whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God and abides in him, and he in God. We need to confess our faith and not hide it under a bushel. We need to be the Christians that we confess we are when we're at church. We need to confess that when we're out in the world. We need to be a light to the world. That's why Jesus came, because the church was not being a light to the world. Salvation wasn't coming to the Gentiles. It wasn't coming to the rest of the world as was promised, you know, in the Old Testament. He came that we could all, Jews and Christians alike, could all, and Gentiles could all be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just pray this week as we go, we would encourage others in the body of Christ to stand strong with one another, whether it be our children or our parents, whether it be a brother or sister, whether it be our children, whether it be a friend at church, a sister at church, somebody at work, you know, that's a believer. Did you get a chance to encourage them? You know, those are the things we need to walk in and do daily. If you're not having a good quiet time each day studying the Word of God and spending time in prayer, I pray that you could set that time aside. You know, either first thing in the morning or the first thing and last thing at night, or both times, on your break at work, at your lunch break, whenever it is, get into the Word of God and be able to share that with somebody each day. And what an encouragement, you'll find that in your own life. And as you start living that, you know that the love of Christ and the Holy Spirit living inside of you will encourage you and lift you up as well. I'll close this evening with a word of prayer. And I pray that as we go out this week, we'll get ready to get joined together on Saturday night for worship. And I know that we're going to be blessed by the Lord. We'll pray that Tony has a good vacation and he gets renewed and restored in his spirit. And until we meet again, I pray that the Lord would be with us. Heavenly Father, as we go out from studying your word tonight, help us to live your love with our brothers and sisters, with our parents, with our children, with our brothers and sisters, with our friends at church. And I pray that we would be encouraging one another to be disciples of Christ, to be those who study the Word of God and become real Bereans. And if you need help, if you need prayer, if you need anything, that you would seek that out from a brother or sister in the church, and that you would seek out those things and not just think that you're alone in all these things. We are together. We are a family. And we need to act as a family, live as a family, and be a family. Love you all, and I pray that you would be in his hands this week. Amen. God be with you all. Have a good time. Good night.